He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kider, chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner. Maybe we'll have a little bit of insight for you today on this wobbly market. I've been saying all along it's two things. Now you can add a third thing as to why the market has been going down. We'll get to that in a bit. The Dow is up 140 right now to 45,892. The Nasdaq just went positive. Something got into the Nasdaq all of a sudden. It was red just a minute ago. It's up 70 to 22,152. The S&P 500 is up 44 basis points. That's not bad, 65.67. But we were closing in on 7,000 here not too long ago. What happened with that? The Russell 2000 is up 0.5%. The bond market, let's see where that 10-year is. It was down this morning. It was down to 4.05%. That's the lowest. Now it's at 4.07. That's the lowest we've seen it in a while. I think Wall Street is hoping, sees a little bit of optimism towards a rate cut in December today, it seems like. But the real battle goes on in Bitcoin. Oh, my gosh. It's down another 7% today, 6,300 to 84,482. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm also the chief market strategist here and chief investment officer at the firm. I have never been a fan of crypto, and this certainly isn't winning me over watching this mess that Bitcoin. Oh, look at this. Eli Lilly hits $1 trillion market value.
I just got
that breaking news. You know what? If you want to listen to honest research that has no bias, you want to listen to the Best Stocks Now show, because bias is not a good thing in the market. You know, you can be a permabull, you can be as optimistic as you want to be all the time, but you have to face reality from time to time. And, you know, while the permabulls or the permabears, either one is not the right way to go. The market goes through cycles. But we did predict quite a while ago that Lilly would become the first trillion-dollar pharmaceutical. It was at about $600 billion at that time, and boom. Boom shakalaka. It just hit $1 trillion. We just wrote an article 2 weeks ago saying it's going to be the next member of the trillion-dollar baby club, which now includes 11. I call it the elect 11. I coined the phrase. I don't know if Wall Street will pick up on it or not. We could have the lucky 13 if Walmart continues to rise. And there's one more. Maybe it was J.P. Morgan, I think, that's getting pretty close. But anyways.
Lilly's an interesting one right now. I'm just like, you know, if you put the chart of Lilly over the chart of the NASDAQ, and it'll tell you, you know, why Lilly has been a nice diversifier over the last week.
Yes, it's a non-tech stock hitting new all-time highs. I mean, you don't have to have all tech and AI stocks to participate in this market. But there's three things impacting this market, and I've been warning for probably a couple months now. Number one, the valuation. That's the elephant in the room, one of the elephants in the room. We hit that 23x forward PE ratio. That's been a ceiling over the last 5 years. That's just too expensive. Put that into context, the average forward PE ratio over the last 5 years has been 19.9. So 23 is very extended, And it was on AI hype and, you know, kind of like dot-com hype back in the year 2000. And we have been reaching other multiples that are as bad as the ones we hit in the year 2000. So something has to give. You have to enter into corrective territory to bring that forward multiple down. Number two, the Fed. Sometimes I think they're the biggest elephant in the room. And that's probably true.
Have the impact from a causation standpoint.
Yes.
They certainly have the most impact, or can.
And wrong way. Who was wrong way? Wasn't there a wrong way pilot, wrong way Corrigan, or something like that in the World War?
Yeah,
it always went the wrong way. We
right.
call him wrong way Jerome, who just doesn't have to have. He doesn't seem to have a lot of intuition. He's very much by the book and wrong most of the time. I find that people that go strictly by the book and what the rules say and everything like this, they usually come up wrong a lot of times. You've got to throw in a little bit of human intelligence, not just AI intelligence, but a little intuition, which sometimes I think comes from the stomach, a gut feel. He doesn't Yeah. seem to have any of that whatsoever. And
he's data dependent.
He's data dependent, and that means you're going to be wrong most of the time because the data shows that the market should be going higher right now, and it's not. And there's reasons for it, and he's a big reason for it. And you know, one of them weighed in today. I think Williams or one
yeah,
of those
Williams,
guys.
Williams actually, you know, that actually gave a little spark to the market a bit from a rate. You know, like you said,
yes.
giving the market a little bit of hope for a you know a 50-50 chance of a rate cut, right?
So you can see just from that how big the elephant is called the Fed.
Yeah.
That's all they got to do is one member say something, and it gives hope, or it dashes hope, like he did, like Jerome did. Of course, he's the chairman. His voice carries a lot more weight than the others, and that's why it's going to be so important for Trump to name a new Fed chairman. I think he's going to pick the guy that's been very
Waller,
yeah. Or there's one other one that I think is a possibility. Hassett, yeah. Kevin Hassett's a possibility.
Yeah.
But anyways, the Fed carries a lot of weight. It has a big stick, right?
2 hours later, Bill, this morning, 2 hours later, the Boston Federal Reserve President spoke, and she signaled a rate pause. So,
well, she's not going to be the next Fed chairman. Goes her chances. She just dropped on the prediction polls
to
1% in the. You ought to look at the prediction markets. Why don't you just for fun see who the favorite is on what's the name of the prediction market? That's something that's a fairly new phenomenon.
Kalshi. I always get scared of saying that name because I don't know if I'm every time I say it, I don't know if I'm saying it right. But yeah, Kalshi.
Yeah, it wasn't around when I was going when my dad was taking me to the Santa Anita racetrack when I was 9 years old, or to Agua Caliente to bet the ponies. Kalshi was not around back then, and it wasn't really around last year. It's kind of a
it's
new
an
phenomenon.
Interesting sight. I mean, going there, it's like
I gotta
know,
go
top.
In there.
Yeah, go check it out. At the top, it's I mean, like the top categories are. College football, Epstein, pro football, Davis Cup. I guess that's tennis.
Okay.
2026
like
midterms. one category is just Mayor Mom Donnie.
Yeah. Okay. What are
Grammy
the chances
awards,
that he turns New York into a communist city? Probably pretty high. Okay. So, and the third reason now is obviously this big spill in crypto, which I've never been a fan of. You know, I just don't know. I cannot figure out where the intrinsic value is, especially in a time of duress. Because in a time of duress, people want to cling to something. They want to cling to their gold, or their ammo, or their wheat supply, or whatever the case may be. And I just don't know that hanging to a plastic card that has your crypto account on it, is that, you know, big of a safety thing. We find out during times of duress, you know, where the places are not that you can cling to, okay? When the flood's coming down the river, you look for a tree to hang on to so you don't get swept away. And we're finding out that crypto is not that tree at all. The outflows continue in crypto. You know, I don't know what else to say about it. As soon as the Trump boys came into it, it seems like the world went on the attack against crypto. I don't know. I have no idea. There's a lot of theories. There's a, the margin theory that people were buying crypto.
Leverage.
Well, yeah, okay.
There's ways to put up a buck and own $100 worth of crypto.
Yeah, and then gamble on a basketball game with it at Kalshi or at, what's the other one, Coinbase. Or even Interactive Brokers, or at Robinhood. That's not a firm foundation. I'm sorry.
I mean, we can make a bet. You can make a bet. Costco raises hot dog combo price before 2028 or before 2027.
Okay. Well, you got to wait around a long time to find out if you win that bet or not. It's just gotten a little ridiculous here. But that doesn't mean we're going into a recession. That doesn't mean we're going into a bear market with the NASDAQ and the S&P and the Dow. It just means that the craziness, some of the craziness, is being market right now. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. President Donald Trump has signed an order to lift 40% tariffs on certain agricultural products from Brazil. You know, you don't realize it, but most of your Whopper Juniors, your Famous Stars, your Big Macs, your Wendy's Triple Patty Burger, that beef comes from Brazil, a lot of it. They're the biggest supplier of hamburger.
Yeah, them in Australia, yeah.
Yes, sure. With the 40% tariff on certain agricultural products, he's lifting that. He's trying to bring prices down. I mean, on the one hand, the inflation had done its damage by the time he got in. And, of course, you know, the next day they were blaming him for egg prices after he got sworn in. And the egg prices eventually came down. But the problem is, those prices have not come down, all right?
Beef is out of control.
It's out of control. Now, maybe some areas, I saw a sign in Walmart the other day, a Thanksgiving meal this year is $4.50 per person, okay? I guess that depends on what you serve and blah, 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 and this and that. Which is down from last year.
Did you see the fine print on that, though? It was lower because they either removed items or reduced amount size.
Yeah, they probably took out the cranberry sauce and you don't get the sweet potato casserole and all this kind of stuff and Mrs. Cubison's dressing. But other
one
than that,
egg.
You get two slices of turkey and a piece of romaine lettuce. That's a good thing. And coffee, too. I mean, Brazil provides, I think one-third of all the coffee in the world comes from Brazil. And they're also the world's top beef exporter. So maybe the price on Big Macs, there's hope soon coming. We'll see. New York Fed's Williams sees room for a further rate adjustment in the near term. So he's obviously vying
Thank
to
you,
be
Fred.
The... Did you
yeah.
find that Kalshi thing? Is there anything there on the next Fed chairman?
I was looking at it over the break. Let's see. So 43% chance it's Kevin Hassett. We got a 15% chance right now for your buddy
My
Waller.
Guy.
And then we got 14% chance for Kevin Marsh. So that's
well, my money's on Hassett then.
Yeah, you got Chris versus the Kevins.
I think the smart money is on Hassett, 43% chance. And you don't hear too much from Hassett. He's not a Fed governor right now. He's in Trump's cabinet, however, as part of the economy. I'm not sure what his current position, his official
title, yeah.
Bitcoin ETFs see record 3.8 billion outflows in November. Bitcoin nears its worst month since 2022. And, of course, what was going on in 2022? The Fed was on the move big time. The Fed was aggressively raising interest rates, and that wiped out Cathie Wood's ARK funds. She was down 65% that year. It wiped out anything out there in the furthest reaches of the market, the speculative end of the market, and we're undergoing another case, a big one right now, of the speculative area. Eventually it spreads to the main body of water, the NVIDIAs, the Palantirs, the AMDs of the world, and it is, okay? You have to watch all the stocks now. And of course, you know, we've locked in a lot of big profits a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and sitting on a large pile of cash. Now, there's another group in the market, and it's just, you just have to understand, Wedbush is a permable on anything AI, pretty much, or the big AI stocks and the tech stocks. Wedbush says, buy the AI winners. As the bears will all come out of hibernation. So you're never really going to see from a Wedbush what you would hear from me saying, you know, now's just not the time. Someone asked me a couple of weeks ago, I've been waiting to get into Micron. Is this a good chance? I said, absolutely not. You know, this is the stuff that is going to get hit next. I mean, for new money, if you own it, I wouldn't do anything right now. But even it's under pressure now. But Wedbush is always going to be bullish on big tech. Dan Ives is a major cheerleader for big tech.
Apple as well.
Yes, Apple and Tesla and Nvidia and all the rest. Okay,
and it certainly served him well. But it
is
always
right most of the time.
Will always be. Yeah, certainly is always optimistic though.
And you can't. I just say you can't have your offense on the field at all times. Okay, there has to be a time when the seasons change, the cycles change. You got to put on a winter coat, your mucklucks. And be watching your backside because there's a time when the, you know, things have just gotten too expensive. The speculation has gotten too wild. And I also think that's a big reason why they didn't promise a December rate cut because of the speculation in the market. But having said that, maybe that will help us get a December rate cut because a lot of that speculation is being taken out of the market right now, big time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and at the CME group, when you're looking at, you know, actual futures contracts, not Kalshi, but we're looking at future contracts, I mean, you've got right now 73% chance. It was just, you know, really 50-50 just yesterday, a couple of days ago, but 73% chance now of a 25 basis point cut at this meeting.
Well, and I would say this. I wouldn't 39%,
by the way, yesterday, Bill.
That's crazy. And I wouldn't say it's because of the jobs report because it was pretty good. I would say that a lot of speculation, which is
the air coming out of the market.
Yeah, it is inflationary in nature, and maybe all of this coming out. We can blame the speculative buyers for you know, not getting that rate cut.
You know what the chances of a rate cut were 1 month ago from today?
Like 100%, probably.
Yeah, 98%.
Yeah, and then he threw water on it. Yeah. That took, and you know, that's one of the reasons he threw water on it. Because the Fed also, one of the gauges, part of their PCE is the E of the stock market, the PE of the stock market, the forward PE of the stock market. They're watching that.
The wealth effect, yeah.
If you don't think so, go back to Greenspan talking about the irrational exuberance in the market in 98. He was a couple years early on that. A lot more irrational exuberance came into the market before it imploded all over the place and created a massive mess in the NASDAQ in 2000-2001. So, you know, on the other hand, Jerome Powell's credit, he's trying to prevent another 2000 where the speculation eventually just gets so out of hand. You get an 80% correction. We got an 80% correction in 2000. Okay, and here's what Ives is saying to buy. I mean, I can hold up an envelope to my head and predict.
Yeah.
I see NVIDIA, I see Microsoft, I see Oracle, I see Palantir, I see Google, I see Tesla, I see Apple, CrowdStrike, throwing a little Palo Alto Networks and some Amazon, and those are the stocks that they are pretty much perma bulls on and never back down from. All right. What's Kathy Wood buying? She's buying a big stock for the first time in months. Maybe that's the kiss of death. Maybe we should be selling. We'll be right back. Hit us in a bad place, and I
wonder what's good for. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Wow, I'm just looking at some charts here. They're pretty ugly. We sold AMD at $237.71. Kind of as a preemptive move, because I could see that the AI was starting to wobble. AMD, in just 2 weeks later, is hitting $197. It's down $40 per share. Since we locked in a big profit on AMD. And, you know, look, I know.
How much drop is that? Is that 17%?
Well, 40 bucks from 230? It's gone from 267 to 196. That's down $67. That's about a 25% drop. And the chart is, you know, I have about maybe six or seven different categories, just names that I call charts. This one is a kiss of death chart. It was a kiss of death about, a week ago. And now the kiss of death is turning into death, and it's breaking down below 200 after hitting 267 just a month ago. There's a lot of, I don't know how you can be involved in the market as a professional with responsibility over other people's funds and not look at charts myself. They're not the end all, but certainly it's where, you know, it's like you, if you feel a temp, if you're not feeling right, you take your temperature. You take a look at the thermometer. You look at the, you ask somebody, is my color okay? You know, do I look all right? Am I pale? Well, it's the same thing in a stock chart. All of a sudden, the stock chart starts to look sick, and you have to question, what's going on here? This is not good. And there's some ugly, ugly stock charts. I'm trying to send out several per day to teach what a kiss of death looks like. There's another one, the road to hell. The road to hell is strategy. That is just an unbelievably bad. Their strategy was to float bonds, float debt. People are buying that debt. And then turn around and buy crypto with it. That's the strategy behind MicroStrategy, which changed their name to Strategy. That's Michael Saylor. That stock is on the has been on the road to hell for weeks now. And I saw, what else did I see today? Oh, they're going to start taking it out of indexes that it was in, because it had grown to this massive market capitalization. Look at that. It's gone from 457 to 170. It's down 300 points. 300 points since mid-July. And now, you know, if they start to, it's traded 10 million shares today. It's hitting a new low. How much market capitalization? I think it got up to like, maybe 200 billion in market cap.
Yeah. I mean, the 52-week high was 457.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's
now it's what, 170. And, you know, their strat, it's got a P.E. ratio of 8. Will Buffett come in at this? No, because he looks at what the strategy of the company is. What are they doing different? What is their product? Their product is floating bonds and buying Bitcoin with it. Imagine the people that own these MicroStrategy, they were probably floating convertible bonds, too, that convert to zero. You know what do they convert to? They convert to you-know-what doo-doo. So anyways, this is just the ugliness that's been going on in the market now for the last several months, and most of it built on just no foundation, no firm foundation of earnings whatsoever. Speculation, pure speculation. I was thinking, too, here's how it works. Somebody goes on Amazon, and they see something they like, and, you know, let's say it's several hundred dollars, and they buy it using Klarna or the other one, Affirmed. Okay, they put it on five payments or whatever. Klarna then turns around, or Affirm turned around, and sells that debt to Elliott Management, which they've been doing, and Elliott Management then packages that debt and sells it, and they call it private credit. And that's what you're buying. You're buying somebody that financed a Papa John's pizza. You're buying that debt. What good is that debt? It's ugly. It's nasty. It's just bitter to the taste. You don't even want to touch it. It's the biggest mockery that I've seen in the market. It's worse than the private real estate that they were doing, the private REITs. The non-traded REITs, which were supposedly not correlated to the market, this explosion in private credit and private equity is another reason. I'm sure the Fed's got to look at that and say, this is not going to end up well. And they're offloading that debt as fast as they can. Klarna and Affirm, they don't want to be left holding the bag when it blows up. They're offloading it to a middleman who then is packaging it as quickly as they can and offloading it to private individuals and 401ks and teachers' pension plans and all kinds of different buyers of this garbage. So they're not holding the bag, left holding the bag, and they can't get rid of it fast enough. We're getting emails every day. I send them to you, Barry, a copy. Here's how to monetize and cash in and get double-digit returns on private credit. This is how it works. I'm just explaining it to you in layman's terms. Somebody goes on Amazon, finances peanut grease to fry their turkey in, puts it on five payments. They turn around, and there's a lot of that. There's a lot of Klarna debt that they turn around and sell to a private equity firm that then packages it and sells it to these big RIA firms across the country saying, hey, get your clients double-digit returns. It's the hottest thing going.
And those are, I mean, those are unsecured loans. I mean, it doesn't get
unsecured by peanut grease.
Yeah, and there's not much, you know, there's also not much credit, you know, there's also much not, you know, credit scoring, right, in terms of giving the amount.
I saw a jug of peanut grease at Walmart, $47 for, I think it was a gallon. I don't know how many gallons it takes to fry a turkey.
Oh, I saw 4.5 gallons yesterday at Costco for $53.
Well, it's coming down. Maybe we should buy peanut grease futures. Japan approves the restart of the world's biggest nuclear power plant. There is, you know, there's a stock over there, which would be the equivalent of our Constellation Energy. It's not Fukushima. It's TKECY, the world's biggest nuclear power plant, is poised to restart after Japanese regional governor cleared plans to proceed at the Kashiwazaki Kariwa plant. Japan is re-embracing nuclear power after the 2011 Fukushima Daiichi power plant meltdown, the world's worst nuclear disaster since Chernobyl. After the disaster, Japan shut all 54 of its nuclear reactors in operation, leaving it heavily reliant on fossil fuel imports. And Japan's been investing heavily in liquefied natural gas. But now, with the electricity demand going through the roof, you know, they have a new leader over there in Japan who's a woman conservative, on the conservative side. And she's getting behind the refiring of these nuclear power plants that have been shut down. Here's another threat to Elon. Magna International, there's a new Chinese EV manufacturer, private company, GAC, They're teaming up with Canada's Magna International, which is a huge, huge supplier of auto parts, to start expanding in Europe. Another brand of EVs expanding in Europe and in China to threaten, you know, the market share that, you know, that Elon Musk has had for so long. Magna also assembles XPeng G6 and G9 and Mercedes G-Class EVs at their Graz facility. So another entrant into the crowded EV market. Somebody sent me something. I don't think there was a lot of credibility to it, but she's saying that Japan already has chips that are as fast as you know, the NVIDIA chips. And by the way, Kathy Woods is buying NVIDIA stock for the first time in months. I'm surprised she's buying something that solid and with a good foundation of earnings. I would not really call NVIDIA an innovation stock at this point in time. Maybe she's about 4 years late, 3 years late. But I think she might be scaling back a little bit on her risk level as her fund is starting to point downwards in a kiss of death type of chart. Okay, when we come back, Novo and Lilly, nothing to do with AI, will be right back. And also Google, how fast does speed have to grow to keep up with demand? We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Man, I tell you, we're getting a lot of requests for the newsletter this week, Mary. With everything that's going on in the market, and I will be starting today. I do most of it on Friday. You can get 4 free weeks of the newsletter. And, you know, we started talking about a top in the market when we got back from San Jose. Because everybody was asking us, what was that, November? No, it wasn't November.
No, it would have been, early October, wasn't it? Yeah,
okay.
Early October.
And, you know, everybody was asking about it then, and I said, yeah, well, definitely. We're getting very, very expensive when I taught that workshop there. But I showed a bunch of charts yet, and I said, you know, what's going to happen is eventually you're going to hit a top. And eventually things are going to start backing off. And usually it takes some kind of event to bring that about. And in this case, I would say the first shot, number one, was hitting 23X forward PE. That happened before the Fed.
Oh, yeah.
That was a massive ceiling, and it has been for 5 years. Last time it hit that 23, it backed off big time, the market did. The second big thing, and even probably more important, was then the Fed stepping in, because they saw that 23X and they saw what was going on in crypto. They saw what was going on in rare earth. They saw what was going on in small nuke stocks, and on and on and on. And those were the two events. There's usually an event associated with it. And then you see stocks start to, they're not hitting new highs anymore. Maybe they hit a double top. I'm looking at the chart of Arista Networks, for instance, which we cashed in maybe 1, 2, 3 weeks ago at around 135 for a very good profit. And now it's 116, you see, and it's still falling. And I would also say this. You know, these are still great stocks. There's going to be another opportunity. And that's why you want to get parked now. Arista might even show up in our value, our relative value portfolio, maybe a month from now. Or it's still a great company. It just got ahead of itself. The market got ahead of itself. The speculation was too hot, and some of that air has to come out of the tires. And it almost always overshoots to the upside. and you want to sell during that overshoot. You're never going to sell right at the top. Once in a while, you might hit it right. But, you know, you've got to see some evidence that a top is being put in, right? Okay. And you can't just look at one chart, you know, in isolation from all the others. You see the whole group of AI stocks doing the same kind of action activity. And that just adds evidence, that adds credence in the mouth of two or three witnesses. In this case, I've had the tens, dozens of witnesses telling me that, you know, this run in the market that began in April of this year is over. And it was one of the hottest runs we've ever seen. It was a 50% run. And people usually are getting in after it's up 40% or 40%. That's when they want to get in. They finally say, yeah, you know what? I got to get in on this. That's fear of missing out, FOMO. And you're getting in when the risk is great and the reward is small. Whereas back in April 8th of this year, you had tremendous reward potential and very little risk potential. Because really, the only thing that was making the market sell off in April was the fear of the tariffs. And you had to basically go with the theory that the tariffs were going to totally bring us to our knees. We're going to greatly cut into the earnings. And it didn't happen. Nothing could be further from the truth, because we've had two fantastic earnings seasons since then with profit margins hitting all-time highs. So the people that bet on the tariffs bringing down the entire market, which that was the trade in February and March of this year, that was the vast majority of analysts out there, market strategists, chief investment officers saying, oh boy, Trump is absolutely going to kill the economy. I even, people standing in line at the airport, this guy starts a conversation with me. When he heard what I did for a living, he says, can you believe what Trump's doing? I just can't believe the guy can be that dumb. This guy was a professor at Fresno State University lecturing me on why you don't want to impose tariffs, why it's a losing game. And, you know, I started listening to people that I give more credibility to, especially somebody who's made billions and billions of dollars in the stock market, and that was our friend Besant. And I said, you know what? I would rather listen to Besant than a guy in line from Fresno State at the university, which is a Cal State University, you know, Fresno. That's where, by the way, Aaron Judge went. I was talking to a girl the other day. She's returning to California this week. And I said, where are you going to college? And she said, I'm going to Fresno State. I said, oh, the Bulldogs. They've put some quarterbacks, too, into pros. I think Oakland's quarterback, the Raiders, which is now the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah. No, I mean,
Carr.
Both, I think both, did both brothers go there?
I think so. And Aaron Judge, I mean, she says, who's Aaron Judge? I said, well, you know, he's just this baseball player. But anyways, you know, and I'd listen to people. You have to listen to people that don't have an agenda or aren't biased. The professor from Fresno State was totally biased against Trump. And there's reasons, you know. I mean, you can say a lot of the stuff he was spouting off on and everything and this and that. But when it came right down to it, it did not impact earnings whatsoever. Instead, that was one of the great buying opportunities of all time. And then it runs its course, and you wait for the next buying opportunity. So, and it also brings up this whole debate about should you cash in and pay the tax. I say, yes, because look at how much has come out of these stocks since we sold them, okay? So maybe that 25% you would have lost, wouldn't you rather lock in the profit and pay the taxes? In my book, that's a no-brainer. I don't even have to think about that. It's a no-brainer. Sell while the getting's good, lock in at 75%, 100% profit, pay the tax, darn it. Okay, well, the newsletter's coming out sometime tomorrow, hopefully. To get 4 free weeks, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us, get positioned for the next buying opportunity, which there will be one because we're still in a bull market. We're currently in a correction. give us a call, set up an appointment, talk to Barry, talk to Jeff, talk to me, 855-611-BESS, 855-611-BESS. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.